I got Mark Dorison here in the studio, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, to help us wrap up this hour and this week. How are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, my friend. Yeah. It's good to be here, as always.
So what's going on? A pretty significant meeting this past week with the decision, first of all, and we talked about this last week, and we got the story running actually today on the decision on light rail and adding the new transit stop in downtown Durham.
That's right. We, on Tuesday night, the commissioners approved the addition of the light rail station at DPAC. That decision then, it had already been approved by the Durham County Board of Commissioners by that point, and then on Wednesday it was approved by the Metropolitan Planning Organization and by the Go Triangle Board. So that's a really exciting development for the light rail. I think we talked about this last week. The proposal as it was approved set a cap on the spending, so any additional costs have to be balanced out in the working budget. There's no change in the overall budget, and there have been some changes so far that have saved money. Adding a station adds about $2.5 million, but again, that's accounted for in savings that have been realized through other engineering and planning.
And those
aspects.
Decisions, those cost-saving decisions, had already been made. That wasn't, we have to do this in order to do this other thing.
That's right. There had been a couple of decisions made around station planning and the length of the platform that resulted in a net savings of about $31 million. And so with the addition of the DPAC station, with the relocation of the Gateway station in Orange County, those added costs, but we're still realizing a net savings, which is very exciting. And it was great. It was a great meeting because my colleague, Commissioner Earl McKee, who has been a pretty strong critic of the light rail project, acknowledged that this was a great addition to the project, and that adding a station right there at American Tobacco and DPAC and the Durham Bulls Athletic Park would just be a really invaluable addition to making the light rail line a success. It adds evening destinations. We talked about that last week as well. So that was really encouraging to see that going forward. And we're, I think everyone who's been supporting this project is very excited. And I think folks who have been critical of the project also are appreciating seeing some developments that will really enhance the success.
Yeah, that's a decision to put the stop there that just seems to make sense for all of those reasons. Where is Gateway going to be now?
Well, Gateway is, what they've done is they've relocated the station from the original map, so it is further west. So the line will go further west, so much more of the, I can't remember the exact diameter, but there's a diameter around the station, which is sort of a critical development zone. Mm-hmm. By moving the station further west, closer to Orange County, much more of that development zone, the radius of that, is in Orange County. So it really enhances the economic development prospects for Orange County.
Okay. So where actually will... I've always been kind of confused as to, I know the Patterson Place Station, I know all the other ones. Gateway's the one that's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I had have to look at a map to really be able to tell you. You know,
but it's right by
the
Durham Orange Line.
That's right, basically. It is. Okay. It's right by the Durham Orange Line. So, I think the station itself is still on the Durham side of the line, but like I said, it's right on the edge now. So, much more of that area, that radius around the station, is in Orange County. So, one of the concerns when we were considering it was how to ensure that enough of the economic development that's going to go on around these stations happens in Orange County. Because, as you know, several of the stops in Orange County are on university property. And so there are, we're hoping and we're working with the university to try to do some joint planning around those stations so we will realize economic development around them. And I think those talks so far are progressing. But the idea was to ensure that as much of it happens in the OC as possible.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, orangecountync.gov is the county's website for more information. At that meeting on Tuesday, Mia Burrows announced that she was not going to be running for re-election next year. So thoughts on that and thoughts on Mia?
Well, that was, I'm disappointed a little bit. I think she's been a great county commissioner. I think she has been... the kind of elected official who took her time getting up to speed. I think she really invested the first year or so of her tenure really trying to learn and understand the complexities of county government, which is important, and has really brought an important perspective to the board. But you know, she has a full-time day job, and I know how challenging that can be, and you know, we live in a society that on the one hand seems to value multitasking, but the truth is, the more tasks you do, the less effectively you do any one of them, and I think that's how she felt about trying to be both a commissioner and have a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's been an honor to serve with her. I'm glad that we have her for another year, and I was really been appreciative of having her experience being formerly on the school board during this whole bond issue. So, you know, it will be a loss for the county commissioners. On the other hand, you know, I think turnover in government is a good thing, and bringing different perspectives to the table is always important.
I do think that's something that's important that people don't necessarily get about being a commissioner or a member of a town council or a town board or something like that until they're actually doing it, is just how time-consuming it is, right? Because it's not just the meetings, it's the prep work, it's the conversations you're having with staff, county managers, other elected officials, state level, local, county, national sometimes. And we care about transparency and communication between elected officials and constituents, so there's that as well. And on top of having a full-time job, that's a huge deal.
It's really is. And you know, it's, you know, as someone who's had a full-time job while serving, it is really challenging. And it's one of the reasons I think in a lot of places, the folks you see in local government are people who are retired, mm-hmm. people who are independently wealthy, people who are self-employed, all important perspectives to bring. But, the commitment does necessarily exclude lots of folks. And one of the things I've been pushing for a while is trying to reduce the number of meetings the county has. We have the most meetings, I think, of any county commission in the state. And you know, at right around 50. And again, that's just the regular meetings. Then
right.
You add in that we all serve on different committees. We serve on different advisory boards. We have intergovernmental committees. So, you know, balancing that with the values of transparency and civic engagement is really critical, and it's hard to do.
Do you find that affects who ends up running for county commission or serving on that board versus other counties that have fewer meetings?
I mean, I haven't looked really closely at other counties, but I do think that there is a sense that there's a lot to do, and there's I think an implicit sense that to do it well, you can't really do anything else, right?
Right.
So there's lots of meetings that are in the daytime. There's lots of meeting, you know, during the 9-to-5 workday. There are a lot of meetings that go late into the night, and that if you have to get up and go to work the next day, that has implications. And so I do think that it does, you know, and then if you have young children, that adds a burden. I mean, I don't think it's coincidental that if you look historically at a lot of the local governments in Orange County, which put a high priority on meetings and spending that time, you see a very relatively small percentage of people who have traditional day jobs, mm-hmm. people who have young kids. And I think that to some extent that limits the perspective that we get, you know, making in the decision-making process.
Yeah. Speaking with Mark Dorris and Orange County Commissioners, election coming up in 2018, you're not on the ballot this time around for county commission, but there's going to be that seat for District 1, District 2, the at-large seat that Barry Jacobs currently holds. I know we talked earlier this year about the sort of preliminary talks about changing the way that Orange County voters elect commissioners so you don't have the District 1, District 2 split the way that it is, that District 2 voters can elect their own people and District 1 voters can elect their own people. Has there been talk on that additionally?
You know, there was. I've been pushing those talks for a long time, and there was some initial interest. But there's a limited amount that we can do without involving the state legislature, without mm-hmm. having to seek authority from the state legislature. And there was very little interest in doing anything that would invite the state legislature to look closely at Orange County and how we do anything. Since, I mean, to be candid, what we've experienced is government by retribution. We saw that in Orange County with the impact fees. We saw it in places like Wake County and Guilford County and how districts were drawn. So there's been less interest. There's an interest in doing something more substantive, but less interest in the in doing that, since it will require, may require legislative intervention. So I believe we should do anything we can to make the process, you know, as fair as possible. And I think that at a minimum, we ought to take the step of saying only District 2 voters elect District 2 representatives, mm-hmm. only District 1 voters elect District 1 representatives. And we, as you noted, we do have at-large members. And so we have a good balance of local and at-large representation. And I think, and that's a change we could make without the legislature. I think we ought to do that, but I'm not sure that I have much support for that at this point.
Anything else that people want to know about that's going on?
Well, there, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on locally. You know, we don't have time to go into all this. There's the Cardinal Innovations, the mental health, the entity that oversees mental health, that the county is part of that consortium that is fighting with the state. And so there's a fight about the compensation of the leadership and who controls that board. But I hope folks don't get lost in that this is an entity that is designed to provide mental health services for folks that need that. And we need to keep that at the forefront of those discussions. You know, the General Assembly is supposed to have a special session in January.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
That may involve judicial elections, judicial redistricting, how we elect judges. That, you know, there's been a lawsuit filed over that now. So there's a lot going on locally as we sort of enter into the budget season. And then there is what's going to happen statewide that's going to impact local decision making. So I just encourage folks to stay engaged both locally and paying attention to what's coming out of Raleigh, because it's going to affect what we do regarding schools, regarding elections, potentially regarding, you know, economic development and land use. So
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on Orange County government. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
It is always my pleasure to see you. It's a great way to end the week talking to you, Aaron.